The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hello, all of you beautiful people. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. We've got a lot going on. It was a busy weekend. That's all I can tell you. A very, very busy weekend in the news department. And we're going to break down the analysis of the big stories that broke, including the very dangerous situation that's developing right now in the Middle East, where we have a hapless and feckless president who has decided to embrace Iran at the expense of Israel. And, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu forced out of power after 12 years. Very similar to what happened to Margaret Thatcher when she was forced out of office as prime minister. A very, very similar trajectory there. Benjamin Netanyahu just a few moments ago saying that President Biden and the Biden administration had asked him not to say anything about their negotiations with Iran. And Netanyahu said he couldn't do that. He said, this is a very dangerous period in world history. And if we're not careful, this entire region could be engulfed in war. And I just pray to the Almighty that the United States of America stands on the side of Israel. And if for whatever reason, our government and the AOC squad choose not to, this is one American citizen who will stand alongside the nation of Israel. Folks, it is a very, very serious situation. And again, you're going to hear me say this a lot heading up into the 2022 elections, but elections do have consequences. And the fact of the matter is, I blame not only the Democrats, but the never-Trump Republicans for the situation we are facing. All I can tell you is God bless Benjamin Netanyahu. What a great leader, what a great man, and what a great friend of the United States of America. Now, we're not going to get into the weeds here on Israeli politics, but just moments ago, Benjamin Netanyahu telling the Jerusalem Post, and I'm going to read these quotes to you, Netanyahu said that the Biden administration asked him not to discuss their disagreement on Iran publicly. In other words, they wanted to keep that quiet. And Netanyahu said, with all due respect, I can't do that. The paper then said Netanyahu compared the attempt by the United States to return to the Iran nuclear deal to the decision by President Roosevelt not to bomb the train tracks that led to Auschwitz, the concentration camp, reminding people there was an opportunity for the Americans. And keep in mind, Franklin Roosevelt, a Democrat, he had the opportunity to bomb the train tracks leading to Auschwitz in 1944. And Franklin Roosevelt chose not to do that. And here we are again. And for you to understand the seriousness of this situation, Netanyahu is warning us that Joe Biden is paving the way for what could be another very, very horrible moment in world history. That's what Netanyahu is saying here. Quote, the prime minister of Israel needs to be able to say no to the president of the United States on issues that threaten our existence. This is the quote from Benjamin Netanyahu. The report went on to say that Netanyahu recalled his 2015 speech in front of a joint session of Congress to voice his dismay over the Obama-era nuclear deal. The White House, by the way, is not commenting. And we'll see if this subject is brought up during Jen Psaki's press coffee clatch in just a little while. Netanyahu said that Iran is celebrating his loss because they understand that starting today, there will be a weak and unstable government that will align with the dictates of the international community. And folks, let me tell you something. Based on what I saw over the weekend with the president of the United States, the man looks senile. The man looks, honest to goodness, senile. Wandering around, nobody was wanting to hang out with him. He was always last in the bunch trying to get off the stage. His wife is pulling him this way and that way, probably to keep the poor guy from sniffing somebody's hair. I've never seen anything like this. The guy, Joe Biden, mumbling all over the place. Cut number two, please.
I'm going to get in trouble with my staff. Yeah, go ahead. But I pretend that you didn't answer you.
Thank you very much. You have often said repeatedly that America is back.
Yes.
At the same time, you've kept in place some Trump-era steel and aluminum sanctions. And I wanted to ask you, when you're having these conversations with European allies who are very concerned about these sanctions, how do you justify that? And what are your plans?
120 days. Give me a break. Need time. God.
Who talks like 120 days?
I think that's his Batman impersonation.
Or his pirate impression. I don't know what that was all about. My goodness. Then the guy goes on, and we'll play some more of this audio. But Joe Biden kept mixing up Syria and Libya. That's an important thing. I mean, if you're going to bomb a country, you need to make sure you're bombing the right country. Unbelievable. So Biden on the world stage, people were literally laughing at him. There was a moment where Boris Johnson, who himself is a whack-a-doodle, but at least his brain is still functioning, Boris Johnson going around introducing everybody. Then all of a sudden, Joe Biden interjects and says, oh, don't forget South Africa. And Boris Johnson's looking over at the guy said, what are you talking about? I just said South Africa. What's wrong with you? Well, we all know what's wrong with him. And that's what Benjamin Netanyahu is trying to tell us, that we have weak and feckless leadership. And he is right to be concerned. So my question to you, it's a very straightforward question as we open up the phone lines for this hour of the program. Do you stand with the nation of Israel? Even if the United States of America, even if our government says, we're not going to stand with Israel, we're going to work out a deal with Iran, will you defy your government and support the nation of Israel? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Netanyahu, when you listen to what he has to say, you better pay heed. Just like Donald Trump, you may not believe what he says, but it comes true. And he is warning Israel that their very existence is in jeopardy because of the United States and our leadership. All right, ToddStarnes.com is our website. Live show blog up and running. Folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
You know, folks, I pride myself in being old school, but not when it comes to the post office. I don't go anymore. As a matter of fact, I don't even pay full price for postage. And that's thanks to my good friends at Stamps.com. You can mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send a letter, ship a package, and you pay less, a whole lot less. As a matter of fact, with Stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates, up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. So stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with my promo code Todd, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Todd. That's Stamps.com, promo code Todd. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Not only is the Middle East in turmoil, what's happening at our southern border is unbelievable. The latest reports, more than 900,000 illegal aliens apprehended at our border. And folks, we literally have no idea whatsoever how many illegals were able to get through without getting caught. We just don't know. And so a lot of ranchers and a lot of homeowners along the border are really frustrated. And not only are they frustrated, they're terrified. And these people are terrified because these coyotes and these drug cartels are literally invading their property and causing trouble in these border towns and communities. Crime is off the charts. People are living in fear every single day. And it's not just Texas. It's every single border state. So Lara Trump was on Fox News Channel just over the weekend, talking to our good friend Judge Jeanine Pirro, one of the few conservatives left over there at Fox. And Lara Trump had some advice for these ranchers, for these homeowners that are living in constant fear. I mean, I just want you to think about this for a moment. Several years ago, I got a call from one of our listeners out in Arizona, right around Tucson. And I was down there a couple of years ago giving a speech. And one of the people that was there at the speech said, "Hey, I know a buddy in Border Patrol. Why don't we drive you down to the border and you can see what's really going on?" So I'm all over that. And so we drove down there to the border, and it was shocking. On one side, on the American side, was a small town, a small community. And on the other side, it looked like a third world hellhole. And as the border agents were patrolling, they were dodging bottles and rocks, all sorts of horrible stuff. I mean, they're under constant attack. And I remember as we were going back through, we were about, I don't know, maybe about 10 or 15 miles in the United States. All right, so we are in the United States, driving on the interstate about 10 miles from the border, 15 miles from the border, and all of a sudden there's this huge border checkpoint. And I asked the guy, I said, "What's this all about?" He says, "Well, look, things are so bad down here, Todd, that we had to build an inspection station. So every citizen of the United States has to go through this border patrol checkpoint every single day. You're going to work in Tucson, you got to go through, you got to show your papers, your ID. Every single day. This is not at the border. This is in the interior of the United States of America. Nobody should have to live like that in this country. But this is what they're having to deal with down there. The crime is off the charts. Off the charts." So a couple of years ago, I get a call on my radio program from a lady. She lives in a ranch with her mother, her elderly mother. She's a rancher. It's just the two of them. And she said, "Todd, I have to go to bed with a shotgun by my side." She says every morning when she gets up, the first thing she does is go to her garage. And she opens up the garage, and she says more often than not, she will find illegal aliens hiding inside her garage. And I said, "Well, what do you do? Do you call the police?" She goes, "By the time you call the police and by the time they get out there, there's nothing they can do." And she says everywhere she goes, she is armed. Everywhere she goes. That's how dangerous it is. Could you imagine being a female rancher? You're by yourself out in the middle of nowhere, and you open up the garage, and you got a half a dozen illegal alien men sleeping inside your... What would you do? So Lara Trump offered some advice to Judge Jeanine, and I thought this was pretty brilliant advice, because Lara Trump told the audience, "You've got to get yourself a gun." Let's take a listen.
Horrifying stuff. And you know what? It must be so insulting to the folks that actually work on the southern border, to our border patrol agents, to our ICE agents, to the people whose jobs it has been for so long to deal with this. It's like they're being made a mockery of by our very own president yes. and vice president. Shame on them. It is absolutely disgusting and disgraceful to see. And I don't know what you tell the people that live at the southern border. I guess they better arm up and get guns and be ready. And maybe they're going to have to start taking matters into their own hands. It should never happen. These people should never make this dangerous journey here. It's bad for Americans. It's bad for the migrants. It is bad all around.
Seems like pretty reasonable advice to me, wouldn't you say, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, if you are living in a border community, Laura Trump says you better get guns and you better arm yourselves because the federal government's not going to protect you. And they have demonstrated that through multiple years now. Go back to George W. Bush. Go even back further. George H.W., Bill Clinton, George W., Barack Hussein Obama, even Donald Trump. Yes, he was able to stop the flow, or at least ease the flow of illegals. But how many times over the years have we heard stories about illegal aliens doing horrible things, raping our women, shooting children, causing all sorts of heinous crimes? And they get away with it. They get away with it. So Laura Trump now is coming under fire. She's coming under attack because she dared to tell people to take matters into their own hands. That's not what she's saying, folks. That's not what she said. Laura Trump said, you've got to do whatever you need to do to protect yourself and your family. And if it's going to take 30 minutes to 45 minutes for the sheriff to get out to you, you're dead. So, yes, you do have to take matters into your own hands if your life is in jeopardy. And that's what Laura Trump was trying to say. I feel great sympathy for the homeowners along the border because those people are being denied their constitutional rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's hard to be able to pursue happiness when you have a bunch of illegal aliens running through your property. I'm just saying, it's difficult. All right, 844-747-8868. Was Laura Trump right here? Is that the right call to make? I mean, what would you do if you were a homeowner? I will say this. Our founding fathers, when they crafted our founding documents, they dictated that every American citizen should be armed. Every American citizen had a personal responsibility to protect themselves, their property, and their families. That was on you. It was not on anybody else. As a matter of fact, the founding fathers frowned upon any American who found themselves to be the victim of a crime when they did not defend themselves. So you, as an American citizen, and an argument can be made that every single person in America who is a law-abiding citizen should be bearing arms right now. And I guarantee you, that will cut down on the crime in these cities. Guarantee it. The infestation of crime in American cities, it's insane, folks, just insane. All right, we got to take a break here, 844-747-8868. Our live show blog up and running over at toddstearns.com. Also, lots of great stories for you to check out. A lot of crazy stuff happening over the weekend. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I want to talk to you about a very serious issue facing our country, court packing. It's the tool of left-wing authoritarians. Hugo Chavez packed Venezuela's Supreme Court with his socialist cronies and paved the way for his tyrannical regime. But now Joe Biden and America's socialist radicals want to pack our Supreme Court with four new liberal justices. Court packing isn't some policy idea to improve the courts. It's a coup. A coup to take away your constitutional freedoms and turn America into a socialist country. That's why First Liberty Institute, the largest legal organization in the nation dedicated to defending religious liberty in America, is doing something about it. First Liberty recently launched SupremeCoup.com to serve as a one-stop shop in the fight against court packing and to help patriots like you learn the truth about what's happening in our courts. But more importantly, there's a big take action button that you can click to do your part to stop the Supreme Court coup. If you want to defend our God-given freedoms and stop the left's court packing scheme, head over to SupremeCoup.com/Starnes. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Let's go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Always good to have Congresswoman Kat Kamick with us from the great state of Florida. And exciting news that when it was announced earlier today, a brand new caucus is being birthed up on Capitol Hill. And you are one of the creators of this caucus. First, welcome to the show and tell us about the caucus.
Yes. Well, and I'm so glad that as a founder, you didn't call me a birthing person of the caucus. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, yeah, we're not going to do that here.
We are trying to set things straight in this country with all this ridiculous politically correct nonsense. But yes, we are so excited. My good friend and colleague, Representative Jim Jordan from Ohio, and I, we partnered up with Young America's Foundation to really take on the cancel culture and the silencing of conservatives on our college campuses, because anymore they're looking more and more like indoctrination camps than they are a place where you can go and really get your degree and dig into a career that you love and are passionate about. Instead, kids are coming out completely indoctrinated with this liberal nonsense in their heads, and we see the result of it. You know, the defund police movement, the BLM movement, socialism is all of a sudden sexy, and it's because that idea was planted in their heads when they spent their 4 years, or in some cases 5 years, at an undergraduate institution somewhere in our country. And it's time we put a stop to it.
And of course, the broader problem is it doesn't start at the collegiate level. Now that we're talking about indoctrination in the kindergarten class.
Yes. I mean, it used to be, and I remember, you know, not too long ago, as the youngest Republican woman in Congress today, it wasn't too long ago that I myself was an undergrad and was being told by my Latin American politics professor that every world conflict was the result of a white Republican man. But even before that, I remember in high school, and I graduated high school in 2006, even then there was this liberal slant to educators and my teachers. And we're seeing now the curriculum that is being pushed, the ridiculous critical race theory that is so very dangerous being pushed at pre-K level. This is out of control. And we are teaching people to hate through critical race theory. We are encouraging children to be racist. And children are not born with this baggage. It is created in the minds of these liberal adults that are looking for control and seeking a society that is all about control. And they do that by making people feel guilty, by planting these dangerous ideas in their heads. And while I can tell you time after time after time, all of the challenges that we are facing here today are a result of our education system, which has been radically turned around and really has been since the 60s. So it's something we've got to get a handle on. I'm really excited about the work we're going to be doing in taking on the free speech fight on college campuses all across America.
I'm still working through you graduated high school in 2006, Kat. My word. Well, this is, but you know, it's been fascinating over, well, I started working at Fox in 2005, and to see, you know, over, you know, 15 years of the indoctrination and the kinds of stories coming out of these college campuses, going back to a couple of years ago when they were literally trying to burn down buildings at Berkeley to stop Ben Shapiro from delivering a speech. I don't know if you remember that. And I thought, here we are, the birthplace of the free speech movement, and they're trying to burn it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just look at it on my college campus. I represent Florida's 3rd Congressional District, University of Florida, the Gator Nation. And it was just this year, 4 conservative groups were suspended. They were suspended from actually being on campus and being a registered group because they violated so-called COVID regulations. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. We have seen just last fall on the University of Florida campus, white students being explicitly told that if you are white, you cannot attend certain meetings because we don't want to make students of color feel uncomfortable. This is just last fall, and this is just in little tiny Gainesville, Florida, which is in the heart of the South. You know that if this is happening in little tiny Gainesville, that it's happening everywhere. And we're seeing that, you know, Harvard talking about having a separate graduation for African-American students. Of course, we've seen conservative speakers being shunned and banned from attending and giving speeches on college campuses. Yet they will use taxpayer dollars and student fee dollars to pay for the books and the speaking fees for BLM activists and known Marxist organizers. I mean, this is ludicrous, and we have allowed this to continue by continually funding with federal dollars the activities of the ultra-liberal left, and it has to stop. I'm so excited about this caucus.
Just hearing all these stories you're telling us about here, and we see these on campus reform and the College Fix websites, are you seeing almost a reverse of the civil rights movement here in the 21st century? Is that what we're looking at?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely. I think that the pendulum has swung so far from one side to the next. You know, I remember being on campus. I graduated in 11, and I remember they had brought in the traveling wall, and it was to honor our military, and there was a free speech wall that they brought in to accompany the wall that was memorializing the service of our veterans and those that we have lost in the line of duty. And a young girl wrote on there, "I hope all military members and their families die." And I wrote right next to her comment as she was doing it, "My brother is currently in Iraq, so you can write this comment and be able to make that comment." And she just gave me this blank stare. And that back then to me was confrontational. What we're seeing today is incredible. I mean, I think what we see now is so far a departure from what we thought radical was a decade ago. And when you look at, I'll just use University of Florida as an example, nearly $1 billion in research dollars, taxpayer funding goes to this university. Now, that's just one university out of thousands that we have. So what are we doing as taxpayers that are footing the bill for this type of indoctrination going to do to even the playing field? Free speech is just that. It's free. And you don't always have to like it, but there's a difference between being critical and being hateful. And the experience of a conservative on college campuses today is that they are hated. They are vilified. They are harassed. In some cases, I have had interns that have been let out of class early because the professor said, "You might get beat up, so you should leave 10 minutes early." And, of course, we've all heard about the story where liberals will have better grades than the conservatives because the professors allow students to rewrite the papers. It's incredible. And one of the things this caucus is doing is helping amplify the work of the Young Americas Foundation, which has a tip line where conservative students from all around the country can call when they encounter this type of harassment or discrimination on campus. And it allows us to have their back, really tell their stories, and hold these universities accountable. It is so past time that we get engaged and involved and really, really hold these universities of higher education accountable. Our taxpayer dollars and our kids are at stake here.
I am so excited about this. And you know, we've been doing our part to shine some light on these stories. And you're right. Now that there's an official caucus, it just elevates this to a much broader audience. I'm just excited to hear about the great work you're doing. And real quick, I just wanted to follow up on something you said. You said your interns, some of your interns in their college classes were told to leave because they might get beat up?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, it was actually last year on our political campaign, I had an intern and she came into the campaign office after class. She was completely distraught and she said, "You would not believe what happened to me today." It was a poli-sci class and she was the lone Republican in the room. And her professor had given her such a hard time and said towards the end, he said, "You know, why don't you leave a few minutes early? I don't think you'll be safe leaving with everyone else."
Unbelievable.
I couldn't believe it.
But this is
not just in Gainesville. It's everywhere.
You're right. All right. Well, look, Kat, we appreciate we've kept you on far too long. We appreciate all this great information. Folks, we've got a link to the YAF hotline over on our live show blog. Kat, always, again, 2011, graduated college. I feel old. I feel old, Kat.
Nah, you're young at heart.
Oh, I like this. You're doing a great job, and you're a great American patriot, and our audience loves the work you're doing, and look forward to getting you back very soon.
Hey, thank you, Todd. You guys have a great week, and happy Flag Day. Shout out to happy birthday to President Trump and to my firefighter husband, Matt.
I love it. All right. There you go. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, a great American patriot right there. And it is Flag Day. And we've got a crazy Flag Day story to share with you. And also, it's the president's birthday, 75 years old. And if you want to call and wish the president a happy birthday, let me ask you this. What is it that you loved about Donald Trump? What is it that you love about President Trump and what he's done for this country? 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
By now, you've all heard me talking about MyPillow and my good friend, Mike Lindell. What an incredible product he has created for America. Those MyPillows never go flat. You can wash them, you can dry them as many times as you want, and they still maintain their shape. And you want to know why? Made in the good old U.S. of A. And now, for a limited time, Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. The regular price, $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. All MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So go right now to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. You are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Set. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. By the way, wow, we're gearing up for what is about to be a very, very busy rest of the year. My brand new book comes out in just a couple of days now. We're very excited about this. The book called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And this book is filled with some really fun, entertaining stories. If you love books like written by Irma Bombeck and Louis Grizzard, you're going to love Our Daily Biscuit. I'm holding up a copy for our live show audience over on Facebook so you can actually see it. Our Daily Biscuit, co-written with my dear friend Michelle Cox. And we also included a bunch of recipes that you guys sent us, and along with some just inspirational stuff. You're going to love this thing. And it's a great gift for anybody in your family. And so we want you to buy a lot of them because we believe in capitalism on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Here's the deal. If you purchase this from our store, I will personally autograph and sign your copy. We'll give you a personal inscription, the whole nine yards. But you have to buy it at our store, and you can do that at toddstearns.com. But you got to hurry because the pre-orders end later this week. So if you want to get in on that action, you need to do it right now. All right, I want to get to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Rebecca, listening to us on WDUN in beautiful Georgia. Hey, Rebecca, what's on your mind today?
Hi. Well, I'm just calling to wish happy birthday to our President Trump. To me, he's still my president. I know I sound silly, but I'm Latino descendant. I came to this amazing country in 1984, and I've seen it all, I think, what is happening to this country so far. And just for him to be a president this short time, I wish him the best happy birthday ever. We can wait for him to come back to his position that he deserves. And also to thank you. You've been amazing. I love your radio station.
Well, Rebecca, you are so kind, but I want to go back to something. You don't sound silly at all. I think a lot of people feel the same way you do, that President Trump is still their president. And I think that makes a lot of sense. But I am curious, Rebecca, what was it about the president that really compelled you to support him?
The honest. He is just an honest man. He say it as it is. He didn't came to become a president just to please the people next to him or these people in the Congress.
He told it like it was.
Yes. He came to represent us, to represent this amazing country that we see it. Unfortunately, I can't see it. It's just devastated to know that it's going down because of who he's taking care of right now. And he's not doing anything. He's just not doing absolutely anything for us as a people at all, at all. So that's very sad, but we just keep praying that, yes, we need my President Trump back. And I wish him the best day today and forever.
Oh, Rebecca, I know he is going to be so happy to hear your heartfelt birthday greetings. Thank you for calling in. Thanks for listening to us, by the way. We love all of our listeners there in Gainesville, Georgia, across North Georgia. By the way, speaking of Latino support, last week you had Republican mayors. Texas elected three new Republican mayors in heavily Latino cities, including McAllen, Texas. They haven't had a Republican mayor down there in 24 years, but now they do. A guy by the name of Javier Villalobos. He is a city commissioner. He won with about 200 votes over the Democrat there. By the way, Republican candidates also won their races in Fort Worth and Arlington. I suspect you are going to see more of this as we move towards 2022. I think the American people are disgusted. And I'm telling you, folks, if you really want to stick it to the Democrats, you got to go after them in every single race. It doesn't yes, we need to take back Washington, but it's about your local community. You've got to be able to take back your local communities from these Democrat fascists. That's what you got to do. All right, real quick, let's go to Daryl listening to us on WDUN. Daryl, real quick here. We got about a minute.
Okay, I don't want to take up your time, Todd. I want to say happy birthday to President Trump and happy Flag Day for everybody. What I'm getting ready to say here, Todd, is spiritual, is in the Bible. If we don't support Israel, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. Also, in Genesis 48, we are the spiritual nation and physical nation of Israel. Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh is the biblical name for United States, and Ephraim is the biblical name for Britain.
Well, now, Daryl, I don't know about that, but
you don't know, sir?
No, I will have to check the theology on that, but I can tell you that the Bible does say if we curse Israel, we will be cursed. That is accurate, sir. I appreciate your call again, but we're not going to get into a theology discussion here, folks. But nowhere that I can tell is the United States mentioned in the Old Testament. Maybe Pastor Jeffers or Governor Huckabee can correct me if I'm wrong there. But I get the point of what he's trying to say is we've got to stand with Israel. And if we don't, woe be to us, ladies and gentlemen. All right, hang tight. By the way, we do have Governor Huckabee coming up. Also, our good friend Mary Walter is going to be here. Got a lot going on, folks. ToddStarnes.com, the website. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, America. Good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're doing well. By the way, happy birthday to President Trump, 75 years young. And compared to Joe Biden, he looks to be about 45 years old. President Trump, just a physically fit man. You know, I want to go back to that when I was down at Mar-a-Lago and at the dinner. And clearly he had dropped about 15, 20 pounds, eating healthy, looked very healthy, tanned, rested, refreshed. And then you look at Joe Biden overseas in England. I mean, geez, aloo. Biden was asked about the Queen of England, said, yeah, she reminds me of my mother. That's a great compliment there, Mr. President, a great compliment. Anyway, Flag Day also today, and we're going to get to some interesting audio in just a moment. But it goes to what Young America's Foundation and Kat Kamick was telling us just a few moments ago, that kids are being indoctrinated on our school campuses. As a matter of fact, I just want you to hear what college students are saying about Old Glory.
There was a New York Times reporter who on TV said that she was disturbed after she saw a lot of American flags lined up across the street. Would you be disturbed if you saw a lot of American flags in one place?
Absolute love of the American flag, I think, is very obviously correlated to, like, extremism in terms of, like, nationalism.
I've definitely seen the American flag used as a racist symbol. You see people show up to, like, Trump rallies with their flags, waving it, screaming in people's faces. Well, then, yes, that it makes it obvious what it means to them.
Okay, yeah, I would very much see her point because, again, a lot of what this country is founded on and stands on is a lot of injustice, again, a lot of genocide. I see a lot of American flags on church grounds, which I find very, not trustworthy because I don't like the idea of tying in politics with religion, which is what this country heavily does even still today.
Okay, just set aside the fact that these are morons for just a moment. But there is a common theme here. These children have been indoctrinated. They have been brainwashed. I would be willing to bet a Chick-fil-A sandwich that these children in their homes were not taught to hate Old Glory. I guarantee you it came from the classroom. Meanwhile, and we're going to get to more of this a little bit later on, but I want to get to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. We've been following the story of Tanner Cross for a couple of days now. I had a chance to talk to Connor last week, this gym teacher who is being punished because of his religious beliefs and his value system. And he said he's not going to lie to a kid. If you're a little boy, there's no way a little boy can become a little girl. It doesn't work like that. And he was very nice and polite about it. And the guy gets booted from the classroom. A judge, Alliance Defending Freedom, gets involved. And the judge sides with Mr. Cross and Alliance Defending Freedom. And now the school is appealing the decision. Well, to help us figure out what's going on is Logan Spina from Alliance Defending Freedom. Logan, good to have you with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Logan, I want you to give us an update here. So we understand the school is now appealing the judge's ruling. What does that mean?
It means that the school is appealing to the Supreme Court of Virginia, and the Supreme Court of Virginia has the option whether or not to hear this appeal. So we'll receive their actual filing of the appeal any day now, and we'll have the opportunity to respond to that, and then we'll see whether or not the Virginia Supreme Court elects to hear the case.
You know, this is really a troubling story. mainly because this teacher has done nothing wrong aside from going before the school board and voicing his heartfelt opinion.
That's exactly right. And the judge in the circuit court of Loudoun County issued an excellent opinion applying clearly established legal principles to the facts in this case that say that the government can't retaliate against you for speaking, especially at a public meeting where public comment has been invited. So we're confident that even if the Supreme Court of Virginia does hear this case, that it will uphold ultimately that excellent ruling from the Loudoun County Circuit Court.
Logan, what do you think this is ultimately meant to do? Are they trying to send a message to other teachers? Or are they just going after this particular guy? What do you know of the backstory here?
I can't speak to what kind of motive they're ultimately trying to, you know, to act out of here. It does certainly seem to be the case that they're trying to just maintain this ability to keep a vice-like grip on the ability of their teachers to speak out on this particular issue. And so it's so critical to defend the ability of educators, parents, administrators to be able to have an input into the policymaking process, which is a fundamental aspect of our core liberty as Americans who participate in a free government, the ability to talk to your elected officials about policies they're currently considering. If you don't have that, you really don't have a free government at all.
No, you don't. And again, you know, this is why the work of Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, is so vitally important. You guys are out there fighting these cases. And you do wonder, Logan, how many other teachers are facing similar situations?
Indeed. So in Tanner's case in particular, we actually filed 5 declarations from teachers in his system saying that they were experiencing, basically intimidation as a result of Tanner's suspension. So that mattered in his case, and I'm sure it's countless others throughout Virginia and the United States. And so it's so important to stand for the rights of teachers to express themselves on this issue, and that's why it's so critical and excellent that at least one judge so far has recognized and preserved that right.
What did you mean by that? Are other teachers who support him coming under attack as well?
I'm not aware of any specific attack that they have faced, but the fact that the school, came down on Tanner by suspending him for expressing his views about policy in a public meeting and suspended him because of that, that has an impact directly on other teachers in that system, and they were willing to say that in our lawsuit.
All right, good stuff. Look, Logan, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate the update on the case here, and let's just hope that justice will prevail.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
All right. Logan Spina from Alliance Defending Freedom on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. And we'll keep you guys updated on those stories. By the way, Pizza Hut. Remember when they used to be like the big deal? I'm a Papa John's guy myself, but Pizza Hut, they're in the headlines. They're sponsoring something called anti-bias, anti-racist indoctrination in classrooms. This is from Caleb Park from over at ToddStarnes.com. A radical and controversial critical race theory training is coming to a school near you. Sponsored by Pizza Hut and First Book. It's called Empowering Educators, digital series on race and racism. And so Pizza Hut getting out of the pizza business for a minute and jumping into the critical race theory world. Racist teaching and learning is upholding the systems and sort of like the classroom hierarchy, they said. Inquiry-based learning challenges that model because the children guide the learning. So, in other words, instead of children learning, the children are doing God knows what. What is the dominant culture? What does the dominant culture do? And so on and so forth. Basically, they're teaching, Pizza Hut is teaching children that pale face is bad. That's what they're basically teaching the children. We've got that story up on the website. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes. We'll be right back.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Talking about this indoctrination, I have to tell you guys what happened over at a high school in Virginia. This is Justice High School. This is a fascinating story. So check this out. First of all, this high school just got renamed. So it used to be Jeb Stuart, J-E-B Stuart High School, the Civil War general. But they renamed it Justice because we got to have justice in America. I say justice. It's also a high school that is predominantly made up of immigrants, so children from other lands. So they had high school graduation just the other day, and something very interesting happened. Let's take a listen to the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under Allah, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
What in the name of Assalamu Alaikum was that all about, ladies and gentlemen? Can we go back? I want to make sure that I heard correctly. The Pledge of Allegiance to the Great United States.
America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under Allah, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
All right. So this happened at Justice High School in Fairfax, Virginia. And not only did they pledge allegiance under Allah, the speaker, the graduation speaker, happened to be a school board member who is Muslim. And she encouraged the students to remember their jihad. Let me say again. So you've got a high school kid leading the entire graduation ceremony in a pledge to Allah. And then you have a Muslim school board member telling the children to embrace their jihad, to remember their jihad. I don't know about you, but I do remember the jihad. I remember it very vividly, every day, September 11th. And I suspect many of you in this listening audience do the exact same thing. Now, this was discussed on Newsmax, and I will say this. Give credit where credit is due. Newsmax is the only cable news channel that dared touch this story. And they're catching holy you-know-what. The folks over at Media Matters and all these other places are going after the Newsmax for daring to talk about this story. And many people are saying, well, what's the big deal? Allah is just how Muslims say the word God. That's incorrect. Because the God of Islam is not the God of Christianity. I will say that again. And again, we're not getting into theology here, but we're talking about two very different gods. One is a lowercase g God, and the other, the Christian God, is uppercase. So people over on Newsmax, and they had a panel discussion about this, and they say, hey, this is unpatriotic. This is un-American. And it's very upsetting. And it should be. And I got to be honest with you, I'm glad I wasn't there because I would have made a ruckus. Because you don't pledge allegiance to Allah in the United States of America. And all this nonsense about jihad, that is very troubling. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. One Newsmax panelist said that uttering Allah during the Pledge of Allegiance was an absolute disgrace. Republican strategist Amanda Mackey said that we're a Judeo-Christian nation. And the fact is that that's exactly who we are. We are not a Muslim nation. We will never be a Muslim nation. And what that young lady did is, in fact, un-American and shameful. But this is the kind of indoctrination that you can expect in our public schools. And it's a shame. But there you go. What would you have done?
I know what I would have done. There would have been some shouting. We would have had a come to Allah meeting, as they say. I'm just saying. Unbelievable. Real quick, I've got to share this story with you. From Austin, Texas, horrible shooting on Saturday night. And 13 people got wounded in this thing. Horrible. Turns out the suspect was a black guy. And this is a fascinating story. So the police chief goes out there and he says, all right, listen up, folks. We know who the suspect is. He's a black guy. He's a skinny black guy. The skinny black guy was wearing a black T-shirt, and the skinny black guy wearing the black T-shirt is wearing dreadlocks. And so everybody goes with it because they want everybody to be safe, and the gunman was on the loose. People were terrified. They didn't know what was going to happen. It looked like some sort of it was a horrible crime scene. It was a mass shooting. So all the television stations, they say, hey, look, we're looking for a black guy, black T-shirt, skinny black guy wearing dreadlocks. The Austin newspaper, the Statesman American, they released a statement, and they said, we are not going to share the description of the gunman with you because it's too vague. I mean, there are lots of skinny black guys wearing black T-shirts with dreadlocks in Austin, Texas. I mean, that's what they literally said. And they refused to release the description of the suspect. As a matter of fact, there was so much outrage that the Austin newspaper had to release a statement. And I want to read this statement to you because it goes right to the heart of what all this critical race theory crap is all about. And by the way, people are going to get killed because of this. The Austin newspaper said they decided not to publish the vague description because it could be harmful in perpetuating stereotypes. In other words, they said they weren't going to publish it because he was a black guy. The suspect was a black guy. The Austin Statesman American is not including the description as it is too vague at this time to be useful in identifying the shooter. And such publication could be harmful in perpetuating stereotypes. If more detailed information is released, we will update our reporting. All right, what do they want? He had a boil on his ass, too. Would that be enough? I mean, what kind of Air Jordans the guy was wearing? What are they looking for? I mean, the police chief came out and said, hey, we need your help here. And you know what? The Austin Statesman on American, they looked at the police chief and said, we're not going to help you. We are not going to help you catch this very bad person. And if it means more people in Austin are going to get shot, well, you know what? At least we did the woke thing. Folks, for those of you living in Austin, Texas, and if you, in fact, have a subscription to the Austin Unstatesmanlike Un-American, I would encourage you to burn it and burn your copy of the newspaper in protest and tell these guys where to stick it. And don't get upset if the Austin Unstatesmanlike Un-American wants to come after you because they're not going to be able to post your description. Unless, of course, you're a white guy. And that would have been in the lead paragraph. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. Our website, toddstarnes.com. We'll be right back. A very disturbing story out of Alabama. A reporter who broke the story about Bill Clinton meeting secretly with Attorney General Loretta Lynch on the tarmac. Remember that story? I mean, it exploded. They were in Phoenix, Arizona, and they met for, what, about 90 minutes or so? And the president, when confronted about it, then-President Clinton, said, oh, yeah, we were just talking about the grandkids. We were just talking about hanging out. You know, what's your favorite barbecue joint, Loretta? Well, there was a lot more going on than that, because all of this happened when his wife, Mrs. Bill Clinton, was under federal criminal investigation. On Saturday at 8:13 a.m. Central Time, the 911 center in Hoover, Alabama, received a telephone call of a person down at a residence. Police and fire personnel arrived to find a man dead. They said the death is being investigated as a suicide. The individual, identified as 45-year-old Christopher Sein, who was a football player at the University of Alabama, was a news reporter in Phoenix, and moved back to ABC News in Alabama in 2017. Mr. Sein is the reporter who investigated and who broke the story of the tarmac encounter. Now, they're calling it an apparent suicide. Here's my question. I want to know if this guy committed suicide or if he was suicided. That's what I want to know. There's something very strange about this, ladies and gentlemen. Very strange and very disturbing. And when you look at the number of people surrounding Bill and Hillary Clinton through the years, I'm telling you, something is not quite right. When you look at the list of people who have either died in mysterious circumstances or have committed suicide or have killed themselves, very disturbing indeed.
You've paid the price for this career-wise. What kind of threats or what have you received?
Well, my family received significant death threats shortly after breaking this story. Credit cards hacked. My children, we have code words. We have secret code words that they know what to do. And that's why I came back to WBMA, ABC 3340 in Birmingham, mm-hmm. because when I was enduring the death threats, it was my former Alabama football family and my teammates, my coaches who circled around me.
Wow. Oh my. Read all about it. You can get the book right now, Secret on the Tarmac. It's at Christopher Sein.
All right. That was Christopher Sein on Fox and Friends a few years ago. And he was talking about he was explaining why he left Phoenix and moved back to Alabama. It was because he was getting all of these death threats. His family was coming under attack. Now, look, I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know anything about his life, what he was going through. But I find it very odd that this guy just committed suicide. And when you go back, and there's a story out of CBS News. They have a list of all of the people affiliated with Bill and Hillary Clinton who have died under mysterious circumstances over the years. There are 47. That would make him number 48 on the list. 48 people. Now, I want to ask you something. Going back and looking at, say, George W. Bush's administration, how many people do you know of that mysteriously died or got suicided or committed suicide under the Bush administration? I don't recall anybody. What about Obama? Yeah, I don't recall anybody then. What about Trump? Yep, same. No, nothing. But it's very interesting that whenever someone crosses Bill and Hillary Clinton, they somehow end up pushing up daisies. Don't you find that curious, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. The New York Post reported that Sein broke the major 2016 presidential campaign news that Bill Clinton met with Loretta Lynch on the tarmac at Sky Harbor Airport. That was while Loretta Lynch was investigating the use of a private email server by Hillary Clinton. He went on to write the book, Secret on the Tarmac. Sein told Fox News last year he knew something had occurred that was a bit unusual on the tarmac. It was a planned meeting. It was not a coincidence. But Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch swore that this was just a random encounter. The book details everything that they don't want you to know and everything they think you forgot. But Bill Clinton was on that plane, and it wasn't just about golf, grandkids, and Brexit. There's so much that doesn't add up. He then sat and waited in his car with the motorcade. Her air stairs come down. Most of her staff gets off. Then he gets on the plane, and the Secret Service and FBI are figuring out, how in the world are we supposed to handle this? What are we supposed to do? Sein said he had received death threats over his reporting, and he said that the story is not about right or left, Republican or Democrat. It's about right and wrong and journalism. And then he went on to say, and you heard it there with the Fox and Friends interview, my family received significant death threats shortly after breaking the story. Credit cards hacked. You know, my children, we have code words. We have secret words that they know what to do. This is Bill and Hillary Clinton, ladies and gentlemen. What in the world is going on with those two? I mean, we're talking about a crime syndicate. Among the people who got suicided over the years, going all the way back to Vince Foster, who was the former White House counselor and colleague of Hillary Clinton back at the Rose Law Firm in Little Rock, died of a gunshot wound to the head that was ruled a suicide. How can you forget Secretary of Commerce Ron Brown, believed to have died when his plane crashed, and yet a pathologist close to the investigation said there was a hole in the top of Brown's skull that resembled a gunshot wound. At the time of his death, Ron Brown was being investigated and was apparently working on cutting a deal with prosecutors. Everybody else on board that jetliner died. By the way, the air traffic controller who was involved in that, he committed suicide. Look at Paul Tully, a Democratic National Committee political director. He was found dead in a hotel room in Little Rock, Arkansas in 1992, a dear friend and trusted advisor of the Clintons. Ed Willey, a Clinton fundraiser, found dead in 1993, gunshot wound to the head. Ruled a suicide. Ed Willey died on the same day his wife, Kathleen Willey, claimed Bill Clinton groped her in the Oval Office. Jerry Parks, the head of Clinton's gubernatorial security team in Little Rock, gunned down in his car at a deserted intersection outside of Little Rock. Parks' son said his father was building a dossier on Bill Clinton. The list goes on and on and on, and there are many of these names that you may not be familiar with, but these people, all connected with the Clintons, ended up dead. And then, of course, there was Seth Rich, the D.C. staffer who was murdered and robbed of nothing on July 10th. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange claims that he had info on the DNC email scandal, which, again, all unproven right now. So we'll see how this investigation goes, but a terribly tragic story out of Alabama, where the reporter who broke the story about Bill Clinton meeting Loretta Lynch committed suicide or was suicided. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstarns.com. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
There was all sorts of chaos here in the news bunker just a little while ago, and it turns out that Grace, your MyPillow order finally arrived.
I know, I'm so excited. Merlot doesn't know what's about to hit her.
Merlot got the doggy bed.
She got the dog bed.
So they literally have a MyPillow doggy bed.
Yes, I didn't know that till recently.
Very nice.
I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. She's getting bigger, so it'll be nice to have a bigger bed for her.
Of course. I have no doubt about that.
She's growing like a weed.
I mean, and you've got the other products as well, or did you just get
I got a couple pillows, a robe, some slippers.
Nice.
I'm excited for the slippers.
We should, you know, you're allowed to wear them during the show if you'd like.
Really? Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'll make for a much more comfortable work environment.
Yes, agreed.
Maybe not the bathrobes.
Yeah, it might be a little weird.
That might be
a
weird.
A little much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just send a memo to Avery about that.
Okay, we'll do.
Stuff. Look, we love Mike Lindell, and he takes care of our great staff here, and we want to take care of you as well, and Mike does too. Mike has been a longtime friend of this show. And it was really even before all this hullabaloo popped up. You know, they're attacking this man who is putting Americans back to work. And I find that incredibly offensive. They're going after this man who lived a very hard life and became a Christian. He found the Lord and he changed his life. All of us have those kinds of stories. And yet they're attacking this man because of that. So that's why I think it's so important for all of us to support Mike Lindell. And we've got Father's Day coming up. You've got holidays. You've got birthdays. All sorts of opportunities for you to get someone you love a special gift. And why not get them something from MyPillow? They are incredible. You're going to love them. And Mike is offering his premium MyPillows at the lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. Now, normally, that's going to be, what, $69, $70? You're going to save $40. If you want a king-size pillow, it's only going to cost you $5 more. And every single one of the pillow products, from the doggy beds to the slippers to the bathrobes, you're going to get a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. I mean, that's unheard of. Try going down to the Bed Bath & Beyond and asking for that, and they're going to laugh at you. So here's what I want you to do. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listeners Special Square, and use my promo code, STARNES, STARNES. You are going to get deep discounts on every single MyPillow product, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Sets. You can also call 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. And use the promo code STARNS, and you're going to be sleeping good, and your feet are going to say, thank you. Thank you, Grace. I'm just saying. You're going to have
just
happy
like
feet.
That.
You're going to have happy feet.
Well, Merlo's going to be a happy camper.
Absolutely.
She's going to sleep like a baby.
Interesting story out of The Blaze. We have the audio. A teacher, a middle school teacher, was giving out LGBT-themed cupcakes. And a straight child in the class. So only the gay kids were getting the cupcakes. And they had little rainbows and little unicorns. And I'm sorry, is that not stereotypical? It just seems to me that's a stereotype.
Isn't it? Yeah, that seems like that to me. I love unicorns, for the record.
Yeah, I don't think the unicorns are necessarily gay, but the rainbow
it's
thing.
It's the rainbow accompanied with it. Mm-hmm. I get it.
If the rainbows are coming out of the behind, maybe. So this middle school teacher in Missouri, a straight student said, well, why can't I have a cupcake? Why do only the gay kids get the cupcakes? And here's what happened.
Would you like a special unicorn cupcake for being straight jerk?
Yes.
All right, come here. Get a straight jerk cupcake. For being a pill.
I'm just trying to be annoying.
You are annoying. You were very successful. Congratulations.
Thanks.
She goes on to call the kid a straight jerk, a butthead, and a weasel. It's pretty unbelievable. So somebody was filming all of this, and clearly the kid was, you know, egging the teacher on. But you can't call the kid a butthead. And she called him a dip. Well, you can fill in the blank there. The student apparently interpreted the unicorn cupcake she brought to Pershing Middle School as pro-LGBTQ. Now, I didn't realize this, but according to The Blaze, the gay community has also acquired use of the mythical animal as a symbol. So now apparently unicorns are gay.
Dang it, now they're going to ruin that too.
You know they're going to get the leprechauns next.
Oh, for sure.
You know it's going
to... Because they're at the end of the rainbow.
Look at Lucky Charms.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. They've already done that.
They're homosexually delicious. You know, Max, well, magically delicious.
Well, you know the
Kellogg's
brand.
You know, magically
delicious. Just like cereal, can't keep them in a box.
So the teacher has apparently been removed from the... here we go. She called him a dip like a dipstick, a butthead, a weasel, a pain in my butt. And finally, she said, everybody is welcome to a unicorn cupcake, including the straight kids. But anyway, the teacher has apparently been removed from the classroom and will not be coming back to the school. I don't think you're allowed to call the kids buttheads. The kid was being a little jerky, though. I'll give you that much.
But, you know, the whole thing was ridiculous. I mean, I'm not a confrontational person, so I wouldn't have probably said anything like that, but more power to him. It's really ridiculous.
Well, you know, again,
she was
easily
triggered too.
Well, we know what the teacher was doing. I mean,
yes.
You know, there was
and
some
he
indoctrination.
Knew what she was doing.
It's like, you will kneel before the gay person or you will not get a cupcake.
Yep.
Kneel. So, I'm not a big fan of the rainbow sprinkles anyway.
What?
It's too sugary.
Mm-hmm. Versus, you just don't like sprinkles in general?
Not a big sprinkle fan. You know,
no.
I like my frosty.
I'm not a big frosting person.
Really?
So, like, if it's a cake, I'd just eat the cake with, like, a filling.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I like frosting, but the cake's the best part.
You know what's good?
Some people
just
eat the frosting.
You know what's good? And I know this is going to sound weird, but you know how you can go to the store and you can get the Betty Crocker frosting, but
yeah.
it's got to be the buttercream frosting.
Yep.
And get yourself some Ritz crackers. And then just,
That is just...
It's delicious.
Oh, it's deliciously...
It's the salty and the sweet.
Terrible. Oh, my God.
Salty and the sweet. I'm just telling you. By the way, I want to give a big shout out to some folks in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, we get a lot of invitations around here, Grace, to do a lot of stuff. And we're going to be at CPAC in July. Otherwise, I would be doing this event. It's the greatest, only in Memphis, it's the Mid-South Great Tomato Contest.
Mm.
And literally, they invited us to be a judge, a celebrity judge for the Mid-South Great Tomato Contest.
Oh, now I'm thinking of tomato pie. I love tomato pie.
And so anyway, we've got someone else on staff who's going to be doing this, but my understanding is they feed you, so you eat a lot of tomatoes.
I would expect so.
My favorite is the Mississippi red tomato. That's my favorite.
I don't really have a tomato preference.
But there are differences. I mean, there are distinctions.
I just like my mom's tomato pie.
Mm. All right. That's good. I had tomato gravy.
Biscuits. I don't even know what she uses.
Jan Childers is the lady running this thing, and she's a great, great American. And man, can she cook. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So anyway, good luck all you folks out there growing your tomatoes. May the best tomato win. We will be right back. Mike Huckabee coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. Good to have you with us today. Busy news day out there, not just here in America, but all over the world. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our live show blog is up and running over at toddstarnes.com. Plenty of good information for you to check out there. Well, I want to go right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us the host of Huckabee on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN, Governor Mike Huckabee. Hey, Governor, how's it going today?
You know, it's going great. They just opened a new Dairy Queen in Little Rock, so life is good, man. You know, it's all good.
Oh, life is good with a dilly bar. Can't go wrong there, Governor.
just to throw it in there, they had a world record for the all-time opening days of 7,000 Dairy Queens in their history. So I'd say it's a pretty good start.
Is that right? Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's the biggest news in the world right now, just so you know. I know you got other things to talk about, but that's pretty big.
No, not really. That's a pretty good news story right there. You know, Governor, a couple of big things, and I want to start with Israel. I know that you are so involved in what's happening in Israel, leading tons of tours over there. And, of course, you were a very good friend of Benjamin Netanyahu, and that was a pretty shocking thing that happened over the weekend.
It seemed like it was coming. It's still a little hard to process that it's actually happened. I think there's an enormous level of parallel between what happened to Benjamin Netanyahu and what's happened to Donald Trump. In both cases, all of the various institutions of media, politics, entertainment, all ganged up and did everything they could to end the reign, and they succeeded in both cases. I will say I've known Naftali Bennett as well for at least 10 years. The first American television appearance he ever made was on my Fox show. He and I have been friends. We usually talk when I'm in Israel. But the challenge that he's got is he's built a coalition of people that run the full spectrum of the ideological world, from the far left to the far right and everything in between. And you may can win the election that way, but the question is, can you govern with that many people wanting something? I'm not sure. Time will tell.
I know Netanyahu did not have some very kind things to say about him earlier today in some remarks, but Netanyahu said that he will be back, and we'll have to wait and see. But, it did remind me of Trump, and it also reminded me of Margaret Thatcher, who served about the same amount of time, 12 years as Prime Minister of Britain, and it was that same confluence of the media, her political opponents, and people within her own party.
It'll be a big mistake if either Lapid or if Naftali Bennett, the two that will share the prime minister roles, believe that this election was because people wanted either of them to be in the position. This was an election simply uniting the various forces that wanted to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, let's be fair. There were some things Netanyahu did that riled up people. Sometimes he could be his own worst enemy. I know we've heard of someone else having that problem. But it's sad to me for this reason. Without Netanyahu, Israel would not be in as secure a place as it is. And the statecraft through which he operated and building the relationships he did with leaders of the world, not just in Europe and the Middle East, but in Asia and in Central America and in North and South America and throughout the entire planet, you just can't walk in and replicate that. It's a long, long process of diplomacy, and he was great at it. I hope Israel, no matter what they think of him and whether they're just worn out with him, I hope that they will deeply appreciate what he has done for their country, because it'd be a very different place without him.
No doubt about that. You're absolutely right. And a little closer to home, the Southern Baptist Convention meeting this week in Nashville, Tennessee. It is all-out war, and Governor, I have never seen it this ugly within the Southern Baptist Convention, at least in the span of the past 20, 30 years. I mean, there's some ugly stuff happening.
Well, you got to go back 40 years, and I remember it was every bit this ugly, if not worse. But that was a real gut check for the Southern Baptists to determine, were they going to be people of the book? Were they going to be committed to the authority and inerrancy and the infallibility of Scripture? Or were they going to tune themselves to the culture that is ever-changing? That's basically what's going on right now. There are some people, I think it's a small minority, that would love to see the Baptists specifically and evangelicalism in general become more woke, become a little more in tune with the modern culture so that we're not castigated as being outdated. And then there are those who believe that it is not the job of the church to tune to the ever-changing culture. It's the job of the church to tell the culture what the notes are and ask the culture to tune to the biblical standard and to the standard of God. So I'm hoping that Southern Baptists will once again realize that the only strength they have is the strength of their commitment to scripture and conservatism. That's why I've seen some things really ugly happen to a good, good man, Mike Stone, who is going to be nominated for president of the convention. I hope he wins. I think he would be terrific. He has shown grace and a great sense of calm under fire. And my good friend Ronnie Floyd, who is the executive committee president and a terrific guy, I've known him for over 30 years. He was one of the greatest pastors in Arkansas before he went to this job. And people have been saying some just ridiculous things about him. I know him to be a man of impeccable integrity. And I think the attacks on people that are known to be honorable and men of integrity, I think they're going to backfire.
And I hope they do. And I know that early on in all of this, during the early days of the campaign, you had Russ Moore inviting a group of pastors. And again, he was one of the ones saying, oh, we need to temper our involvement in politics. And if you remember, Governor, he invited Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, and Hillary Clinton to speak to a gathering in Nashville. And they did not invite you or Ted Cruz, who have great ties to the Baptist community. There was a lot of suspect stuff going on, even in those early days.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Todd. I had to scratch my head about that. I'm thinking, okay, look, I like Marco and Jeb. They're both good guys, but they're Catholic. I'm not sure why you would think that they would be better able to represent the world of Christians in politics more so than somebody who once was the president of the Arkansas Baptist Convention and was on the National Executive Committee for several years. Maybe that would have been a good choice, but, you know, what do I know?
Unbelievable. Well, I'm with you. I've also endorsed Mike Stone. I've known Dr. Floyd for a number of years, and I found him to be a great man. And like you said, impeccable integrity. And it's a shame that people are out there trying to smear their good names, for the sake of politics. And let's see what happens tomorrow. But they're saying there are a lot of Baptists in Nashville, Governor.
They may ruin that city before it's all over.
I will tell you this. Well, it would be interesting to see what's happening on Lower Broadway. It's probably a ghost town right about now.
Yeah, it's probably like when Southern Baptists went to Las Vegas. They said that most of them went out there with a $20 bill and the Ten Commandments and didn't break either one of them.
Well said. Governor, what's coming up on the big show this weekend?
We've got Oscar winner John Voight, who's going to be our special guest this weekend. We're very excited. What a great guy. He's one of the most humble, gracious people. You know, if John Voight wanted to be a diva, I'd just say, okay, he's John Voight. He's earned the right. But the truth is, in person, he is one of the kindest, most gentle and genial gentlemen I've ever been around. And I can't wait to talk to him. But he's also a person that is very clear and very solid convictions about America and about God's grace on this great land. We're going to have a great time. I know people will enjoy the conversation with John Voight this weekend.
All right, that's coming up this weekend, folks, on Huckabee. You can watch the Times. Check all that out over in our live show blog over at ToddStarnes.com. Governor, good talking to you.
Take care, Todd.
All right, enjoy that Dairy Queen. My goodness. I could go for a deli bar right about now, but Grace, I can't. You know why, Grace?
Because you're on a diet.
I'm on a diet.
That's why earlier you were talking about the frosting and the crackers. I was like, that does not sound like it's on your diet plan.
No, but I haven't had any. I haven't had any red meat. I haven't had any frosting in 3 weeks now.
Doesn't it just...
And I'm getting so ornery. Good. Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to get short-tempered with a liberal caller. That's what I'm afraid of, so...
Jerry the Liberal from Milwaukee, don't call in today.
No. I would advise against it today. But anyway, the governor, though, deserves a dilly bar. He's led a very busy life. He's been through the fire. He deserves some ice cream on these very warm summer days. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are proud users of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Man, do I love this device. It has really, really made springtime and honestly summertime much more enjoyable. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier, this is week number four. I think I've had this device, and it literally just destroys all of the things that make you sneeze, get the watery eyes, the cough. Not doing any of that anymore, thanks to the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. So if you have allergies, and I'm one of these guys, I've got the allergies, but if you have allergies, I would strongly encourage you to get one of these for your home, if not one for each room of your house. And that way you can still open up the windows, you can let the gentle breeze come in. But if you're in Memphis, you're going to keep the windows closed because it's 130 degrees outside and you want to enjoy the air conditioning, the cold air conditioning. Here's what I want you to do. Go right now to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use the code word Todd. That's T-O-D-D, the normal spelling, Todd. And if you pop in my code, you're going to get some great discounts. I think they're even going to throw in free shipping. That's EdenPureDeals.com, the code word Todd. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. That guy's a little weird, right? With the hair and the just got the wife, the trophy wife. Man, Biden was all over her. Did you see that, Grace Baker? I mean, he was pawing.
Yeah,
he was
freaky.
And it wasn't just like, oh.
In front of his own wife, so, too.
Oh, he, yeah. I mean, we very, very odd.
Yeah.
He said he was thrilled to meet her. I mean, it was like he shoved Johnson out of the
basically.
Way.
Basically. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is who I really came to see.
My goodness. But she kept the distance. I don't know if you picked up on that.
I don't blame her. Social distancing. Social distancing.
There wasn't much of that going on. Nobody was wearing the face burkas, none of that stuff. So anyway, Boris Johnson, the guy is a little squishy. I'm talking about his politics. And the guy was giving a speech after the G7 summit. And he said that he had a dream about the post-pandemic world. Take a listen.
But it is vital that we don't repeat the mistake of the last great crisis, the last great economic recession in 2008, when the recovery was not uniform across all parts of society. And I think what's gone wrong with this pandemic, or what risks being a lasting scar, is that I think that inequalities may be entrenched. And we need to make sure that as we recover, we level up across our societies and we build back better. And I actually think that we have a huge opportunity to do that, because as G7, we are united in our vision for a cleaner, greener world, a solution to the problems of climate change. And in those ideas, in those technologies, in which we're all addressing together, I think there is the potential to generate many, many millions of high-wage, high-skill jobs. And I think that is what the people of our countries now want us to focus on. They want us to be sure that we're beating the pandemic together and discussing how we'll never have a repeat of what we've seen, but also that we're building back better together and building back greener and building back fairer and building back more equal and in a more gender neutral and perhaps a more feminine way. How about that?
What does that even mean? So let's unpack this here. So Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, which clearly is not that great anymore, says that he wants to build back the world in a more gender neutral and more feminine way. Well, right out of the gate here, you can't be feminine if you're gender neutral, because being feminine implies that you're giving favor to the fairer sex. So you have to strike out feminine unless he wants
unless he wants us all to be more girly. Is that what he's talking about, Grace Baker? Does Boris Johnson, the leader of Great Britain, want our fighting men and women to prance around in stiletto heels and skirts and sing Broadway show tunes?
You know what I heard, Todd?
And drink apple teenies?
I heard blah, 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 blah. Woke. Blah, 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 blah. Woke.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't mean anything.
He's trying to sound intelligent, but he just sounds stupid.
You see, this is the problem. This is why I don't like to vacation outside of America. Because of stuff like this.
Can I say, though? Biden can't even put together a coherent sentence either, so.
No, I'll give the guy credit for that.
At least he can talk.
Yes. I mean, Biden.
Make eye contact.
Unbelievable.
He doesn't go off on reporters.
But honest to goodness, that prime minister sounds like a Marxist.
Oh, I know.
That's what he sounds like.
I know.
Everybody's equal.
I remember when he first got in, it was like this big deal. Like, I was like, oh, is this guy more like conservative?
You see, this is, no. This is why you have to do your homework. You got to do your homework on these people. And that's a problem here in this country as well.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks, again, this is a lesson for you that when you do not investigate, when you don't do your due diligence, stuff like this happens.
Yep.
So, all right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I hate to say it, but it looks like the UK is under the thumb of a wannabe Marxist. And we'll see how that plays out, but I don't have much hope for you folks. All right, we've got to take a break here. ToddStarnes.com. Don't forget, now is a great opportunity for you to download our free podcast, all 3 hours of the Todd Starnes radio show. So if you miss a segment, you can go back, you can listen to it again. We'll be right back, folks. People, mark your calendars. July 31st, we're going to be doing a big book signing and event. Yes, I said event. At the Billy Graham Library in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina, we are going to be signing copies of my new book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl, and also going to be doing some speaking. We'll take some Q&A from the audience. We would love to see all of our listeners in that area of the country come out. And if you haven't been to the Billy Graham Library, it's an amazing place. You're going to have a great time. And I should have told Governor Huckabee, they don't have the Dilly Bar like they do at the DQ, but they got a pretty good ice cream shop there. So pretty tasty stuff. All right, I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. And a very honored to have back with us Mary Walter, who, by the way, is going to be filling in guest hosting tomorrow on the show as I head up to Nashville for the Southern Baptist Convention Civil War. Mary, good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you. And thank you for letting me sit in tomorrow for you. I texted you and I said, I'm going to promise to try to not to break this show for you, okay?
Oh, you're going to do great. And I gave Grace permission to bring in Merlot, who is the official mascot of the show.
Love that. Who does not love a puppy?
That's true. And Merlot is just like, she's like the bee's knees around here or something like that. Anyway, the funny thing here, before we get into the big stories of the day, Grace, turn your microphone on, Grace Baker.
Yes.
So we just got word that Mike Lindell has sent you the MyPillow doggy thing.
The dog bed? Yes.
Is that what they call it? Dog bed.
You know, the thing.
The thing.
Sound like Joe Biden. Come on.
So Merlot's going to have to do a commercial for Mike Lindell.
Oh, yeah. She's got a social media and everything. So I'm going to post it on there and tag my pillow.
And Mary, maybe I'm out of place here. Just don't tell her. Do not bring up the election. Just talk about the dog beds. that's
well, you know what's funny though? I heard you talking about the dog bed earlier, and if the dog bed is even half as comfortable as the My Pillow is, because I am a huge fan, that dog is never getting out of that bed.
Mm-mm. Hey, that makes my job easy.
Love it.
Exactly. She runs me ragged.
All right. So, well, the order of the day is just have fun tomorrow, Mary. You're going to love our listeners. They're a lot of fun. And, you know, if you need help with the Southern accent at all, you know, Grace is on standby.
You know, I am a Jersey girl, so there are a couple of things that do. There are certain words that will creep out of my mouth no matter how hard I try, and I totally give it away.
So, look, Mary, let's talk about what happened over the past couple of days. The G7. I got to tell you, this was pathetic. I mean, when you see our president with all of these other world leaders who are vibrant and can think and stand for themselves, this is a very weird thing to see our president like that.
You know, did you see the video where he got lost on the way to lunch and he wound up in like some general eating area with people and he's wandering through looking all confused and one of them shouted out a question to him and he answered it. And then Jill had to come find him. You know, the nurse had to come get him. She goes, "Oh, come on, Joe." And everybody laughs, ha, 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 ha. But the problem is they're not laughing with him. They're really laughing at him. It's really sad. And, you know, it's no surprise. Now we understand why there will be no joint press conference with Putin. Because Joe Biden's going to look addled. And his age is definitely going to show next to Putin. So that's why it's behind closed doors. And we're never really going to know what he says.
As a matter of fact, this was actually said during one of Biden's press moments. Cut number one, please.
In addition to money we put into the COVID project, which is that COVID is, I know you all know, but a lot of people may not know what COVID is.
A lot of people may not know what COVID is.
Yeah, it was apparently COVAD, COVAD. So I can kind of understand why he got it confused. But Joe Biden needs to stick to TOTUS, the teleprompter of the United States that his predecessor, Barack Obama, used all the time. He needs to take a lesson from Obama's playbook, because when he goes off the script, he gets himself in trouble. And he says these little asides because he knows he's lost. He knows he's in trouble. So he makes these little comments that are really cute on your grandpa, but not the president.
No, not at all. Meanwhile, you have a very delicate situation unfolding in the Middle East right now with the change in leadership in Israel. But you also have a situation where you have AOC covering for Ilhan Omar's anti-Semitic behavior. Nancy Pelosi yesterday was asked specifically about that on one of the cable channels. Let's play cut number seven, please.
I want to ask you about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar.
Yeah.
You and other top House Democrats released a pretty rare statement rebuking her for appearing to, quote, draw false equivalencies between the United States and Israel and terrorist organizations, that's Hamas right. and Taliban. She clarified, she said that she was in no way equating them. But since all of that happened, she and others don't seem to be letting this go. Rashida Tlaib, one of her close friends, member of your caucus, tweeted the following. Freedom of speech doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress. The benefit of the doubt doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress.
Okay, you know,
House Democratic leadership should be ashamed.
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
We did not rebuke her. We thanked, acknowledged that she made a clarification. So mm-hmm. before we go too far down a path.
Yeah, these aren't my words.
No,
these are your caucus members' words.
No, that's a member.
Yeah.
That's a caucus
member. A caucus member. Yeah, so I just wanted to get your response to that.
No, I'm not. I'm responding that the Congresswoman Omar is a valued member of our caucus.
Well, there you go. A valued member of the caucus. And Mary, it's pretty clear to me they embrace Klans members. They embrace anti-Semites in the Democrat Party.
Absolutely. But did you see what Nancy Pelosi did there? She did not allow the host to finish reading that statement because she didn't want that statement read out loud for those who had not heard it, because she knows what she was saying there. She knows darn well what was being said. She didn't want it said. So she just interrupted until the point where the host just backed off and said, yeah, but I want to get it out there. She just kept going. Nancy Pelosi knows she has a problem, and this is a problem of her own making. Do you remember when AOC first came in, that she attended she attended a meeting, like went to go support protesters that were sitting inside Nancy Pelosi's office in the front office there. And she went by and gave him a high five and everything. Nancy Pelosi should have reined this in the beginning, and she didn't. And now she's got a big problem that she is not in control of. And they are rapidly taking control of the Democrat Party. They've got Joe Biden exactly where they want him. And I think because of all of this, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to sit back, make the popcorn and watch it unfold, because it's not going to go anywhere good for the Democrats at all.
No, I'm with you on this. I mean, you've got House Democrats who are enraged, especially Jewish House Democrats, and they know exactly what she said. She didn't take anything out of context. She said what she said. And this is going to be a bellwether moment, I think, for a lot of if there are any more moderates left in the Democrat Party, do they really want to be associated with somebody like this?
But see, here's the thing. This is what was bound to happen on the left.
Sure.
The pyramid of victimhood on the left, as I call it. What do we see? We saw women get kicked down the down the pyramid, right? It's like that king of the mountain. Women got kicked down. They are no longer as much considered as valuable as a man who is transgendered or claims to be transgendered, who wants to take a job or a spot from a woman. So the woman goes. Now you're seeing the Jews are no longer useful to the Democrats. So now they're gone too. They are sacrificable. And you're starting to see it all shake out. It was inevitable. And you're watching it happen.
And what's fascinating, and this is not getting a lot of traction nationally, but you had three mayor's races down in Texas. So one in, was it McAllen, Texas? Another in Texas. Arlington and Fort Worth. And Republicans won all three of those races. And these, we're talking about Hispanic votes now switching to the Republican Party.
You know, I think that for the most part, Hispanics have always aligned themselves with Republicans with more conservative values. They're much more likely to be going to church, much more likely to be Catholic, and on and on. But for whatever reason, it's just like Catholics who always vote Democrat or Jews who always vote Democrat. I think the advent of Trump changed the narrative. He kicked down the doors and he said to them, what have you got to lose? Remember talking to the African-American community? You've been voting the same way for 50 years. What do you have to lose by voting for me? And we saw them vote in large numbers for President Trump. Same thing with Hispanics. Now that he's opened that door, it's almost okay now for them to not have to vote the same way over and over again. And the problem, to bring it back to AOC and the growing squad and how they have control over Joe Biden, the Democrats, I think, knock on wood, are going to lose in 2022. I think that happens. And I think based with Kamala Harris's just poor performance in her apology tour, I don't know what that was, where she was going to go find the root cause of immigration. It was so bad, you know, that we had to have the Secretary of State go back to Mexico to kind of, you know, patch it over. Joe Biden performing so badly on the national stage. I think they're in trouble when it comes to 2024. As of right now, a lot can change between now and then, because I thought Trump was going to win too. So a lot can change. But I think you're starting to see a lot of the parameters that they've set down now be used against them, and it's not going well.
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, Mitch McConnell just a few moments ago said on Hugh Hewitt's show that if they reclaim the majority, he is going to block President Biden from filling a vacancy on the Supreme Court. So,
yeah, I saw that. And of course, you know, the Democrats will always control the narrative. They're very good at that. And Republicans need to learn how to do that. And until Republicans do learn how to do it, you know, Democrats will always control the narrative should that happen. And Republicans are going to have to figure out that is their next step of how to control that narrative.
All right. Good stuff. All right, Mary, we're going to let you end it there. You got to get to bed and get some rest for tomorrow. You're going to have a great time. You're going to love our folks. And we really appreciate you taking time to fill in on the show tomorrow.
Thank you so much for asking me. I am so looking forward to getting to know your audience. So I will see you tomorrow then. Thank you.
All right. Mary Walter, ladies and gentlemen, and she will be in the anchor chair tomorrow. So be nice. Be on your best behavior, folks, as you always are. And we'll have a good time. All right, we are going to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our number. ToddStearns.com is the website. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Stearns.
right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. A patriotic day in America. President Trump celebrating his 75th birthday. And we're inviting you to call in and let us know why you love President Trump. 844-747-8868. Also, today is Flag Day. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of kids just don't know much about Old Glory. And they don't know about the purpose of the colors and the stripes and the stars. They don't understand that. So we're going to throw out a little bit of trivia. We got a couple of minutes here, Grace. So get ready. The original American flag had how many stars? How many stars did the original American flag have? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Meanwhile, our friends over at Campus Reform decided to go out to a college campus, and they wanted to ask people just wandering by their thoughts on the American flag. Here's what they had to say.
There was a New York Times reporter who on TV said that she was disturbed after she saw a lot of American flags lined up across the street. Would you be disturbed if you saw a lot of American flags in one place?
Absolute love of the American flag, I think, is very obviously correlated to, like, extremism in terms of, like, overt nationalism.
I've definitely seen the American flag used as a racist symbol. You see people show up to, like, Trump rallies with their flags, waving it, screaming in people's faces. Well, then, yes, that it makes it obvious what it means to them.
Okay, yeah, I would very much see her point because, again, a lot of what this country is founded on and stands on is a lot of injustice, again, a lot of genocide. I see a lot of American flags on church grounds, which I find very, like not trustworthy because I don't like the idea of tying in politics with religion, which is what this country heavily does even still today.
What's up with the background music? What's up with that? The music? It sounds like you're in an elevator, right? I hope they added that. I hope that wasn't what was playing over on the campus. I mean, geez, Alou. All right, so hang tight. We've got a couple of folks on the line, and we've got a couple of trivia questions. So if someone answers, do not hang up because we've got a couple of extra questions to ask you. Let's go to Kay in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Kay. How are you today?
Doing good.
All right, Kay, we want to know about the original American flag. How many stars were on that flag?
13 for the 13 colonies.
Okay, guess what? You are correct. You know your history. Congratulations. We're going to put you on hold. And, Kay, we're going to get your info, send you a copy of my brand-new book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. Thank you, and thank you for listening to KYKN, our great affiliate there. All right, let's go to Carrie in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on the flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Carrie. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Carrie, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Now, we already had someone answer the first question, but there is another question here. The American flag had the original American flag had 13 red and or rather had 13 original colonies, the flags, the stars, rather. Man, I'm just botching this, Carrie. It's late in the show. I apologize. So the 13 stars for the original colonies and also they had red and white stripes. How many red and white stripes were there on that flag?
Let's see. I know they were six of one and seven of the other, but I'm not sure.
What do you get when you add those together, six and seven?
13.
13, and you are correct, sir. 13 red and white stripes. Carrie, you, sir, are a winner as well, and we appreciate you listening to KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. So, look, hang tight, Carrie. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get your info, and we're going to hook Carrie up with a copy of Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And we'll try to throw some more trivia questions out there later in the week. Now, look, tomorrow on this program, we have our good friend Mary Walter from New Jersey, and she's going to be filling in for us. It's going to be a fun show.
You are going to love her take on the big issues of the day. I will be in Nashville, Tennessee. I may try to call into the show, depending on how things are going at the Southern Baptist Convention meeting. I'll be giving a speech there, and we're doing a book signing with our good friends at Truett McConnell University. They're actually giving away 200 copies of Our Daily Biscuit at their booth at the Southern Baptist Convention. So if you happen to be in Nashville, drop by, say hello, and you might be able to get a free copy of the book. Grace, I'm going to be signing 200 copies of the book tomorrow.
You better stretch your hand muscles before that.
And the book hasn't even come out yet.
You're getting your. This is the warm up.
It is the warm up. It is the warm up. So I'm going to have to, again, I don't want to, I got to get a finger massage or a thumb massage or something.
Those exist.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Go on Amazon. Everything exists on Amazon.
I got to Google that. All right, folks, look, it's been a fun day. Get out there. Have a good one. Tomorrow, Mary Walter, ToddStearns.com. Be sure to check out all of our great stories, newsletter coming out, and our podcast in just about 30 minutes. Get out there. Be good, America.